question.
Podcast, same weird intro thing. Hey, welcome everybody.
Hey guys.
Man, this is crazy. Look around. Wow, nice digs. This is new, but still kind of the same.
I was gonna say. Yeah.
Hey everybody, welcome to the new podcast, The Movie Connection. And yeah, we said that at the exact same time, but it sounded like only one of us was saying it.
We're off to a really good start.
So I'm Jacob.
And I'm Casey.
And welcome to the new podcast, everybody. Yeah, how many welcome. Times can I say it in one sitting? So basically the way this works is, I mean, it's essentially the same show. The only difference is you get two movies for the price of one.
Yeah.
And we're not going to focus too hard on the synopses.
Right. We're not going to...
The synopses are actually going to be synopses and not, plot by plot.
Right.
Retellings.
Yep. Right.
And interspersed with that, so we're gonna, all right, so we both were assigned a movie.
Yes.
And we're each gonna take a turn to talk about that movie, giving our own personal like synopses and like interjections throughout. After we've given our synopses, the other sibling, because we're the only, there's plenty of movie review podcasts out there, but none of them are hosted by siblings. Did you know that? It's true. Absolutely none of them. You get it hosted by wives and husbands.
Right.
You get it hosted by friends.
Mm-hmm. That happens.
But not siblings.
No. No, never siblings. Oh my gosh.
Sometimes cats.
Yeah, my cats make an appearance occasionally. If you're new to the podcast, I have three kitties. One of them is a baby. His name is Potter.
He doesn't look like a baby.
No, he's a big boy. He's 6 months old and he's humongous. Yeah, and they occasionally will make a meow or a hiss or a growl here and there.
Occasionally.
Yeah, it does happen. It does.
So, yeah, we will talk about the synopses, and then the other sibling will give the little Q&A sesh, like, oh, what did you like? What did you... But we will always start with the same question, which is, why did you make me watch this?
Why did you make me watch this?
You're questioning it more than I am. Palm Springs was a breeze for me.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I'm not saying The Raising Arizona was bad.
Not what you were expecting, though.
Not when you told me it was a movie about Nicolas Cage and babies.
Not about Nicolas Cage.
It has Nicolas Cage in it with babies.
Yeah.
It wasn't what I expected, no.
And then from there, it's just back and forth, and then we wrap it up with our recommendations and all that good stuff.
So right.
A lot of the same old things. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
See? A lot of the old stuff.
Have you seen this movie?
Have you? All right. Well, let's get started. So, Casey, we're going to start with you.
Cool. Why did you make me walk? No. Yeah.
So, start out with... So, your movie was Raising Arizona.
My movie was Raising Arizona.
Tell us about it. What's it about?
It is a movie that's starring Nicolas Cage. Mm. His name in the movie is Hi.
Mm. H-I.
Yes. And he...
Already weird.
...has been arrested. And then he gets arrested again. And then he gets arrested again. And the whole time he's sort of flirting a little bit with the lady that books him.
Ah, yes.
Her name is Ed.
Ed. So we got two-letter names.
Yes. And his third time getting arrested and being in jail, he can't stop thinking about Ed.
Ed.
And so when he gets out of jail, he marries her.
Why not?
It feels insane to me.
I mean, you who watches rom-coms, I mean, you should be on board with this shit.
I'm not saying I wasn't on board. It just felt
weird.
Sudden, and also, like, the cop lady was going against all her morals to marry this convict that she keeps putting in jail, but whatever. His thing, by the way, is, like, it's robbing convenience stores. Yeah,
convenience stores.
Very specifically.
Yeah.
He makes a mention on how...
That would be my choice.
It's so weird. And he makes mention on how he, like, can drive by them now and not stop, and I'm like, oh, he has problems.
Yeah.
One thing I did like that this movie honed in on was, like, sometimes when you get into the system, it's sort of, like, more comforting to be in jail for some people.
Right.
And so they immediately go back into those bad habits and then get back into jail because at least it's, like, a consistency.
Yeah, they've got a name for that. I forget what it is.
But Yeah. And they're usually lacking that consistency in their normal lives. And so they like the consistency of prison. So anyways, that was that. And I was like, when do the babies come in? Him and Ed get married. She can't have children. And she's devastated by this.
The doctor describes her womb as a a desert, rocky place where his seed could make no purchase or something like that.
Something like that.
I love the script because they say things like that where it's just like, whoa, that's kind of weird and roundabout way of saying something, but I think I get where you're
going. I will say one of the fun things, I was looking at reviews afterwards, and one of the reviews was titled A Cartoon in Real Life, and it very much feels like that. It totally feels like that.
Good. I'm glad you got that.
So that was really fun. Yeah. But yeah, so anyways, they end up seeing in the news that somebody had quintuplets, somebody kind of rich.
This is somebody with the name Arizona, right?
Right. And so they go and they steal one of the babies and comedy ensues.
Right, yes.
Of course. They don't have the baby very long, Nathan Jr.
Right. We get a couple of...
crooks.
friends of High who escape from prison.
Right.
They're kind of the foil, I guess,
John
of the
Goodall.
Yeah, or Goodman.
Goodman, John oops, Goodman. Sorry.
Jane Goodall.
Jane Goodall. very different people.
And then we're dancing around the most enigmatic figure of the movie.
Who?
Leonard Smalls.
Oh, yeah.
That guy.
Yeah.
He is the strangest ingredient of the movie.
So weird and random and semi-pointless.
Semi-pointless, but it just gave you that fun, weird element that was already there, and it just kind of took it to the next level.
Yeah.
And this guy is like, he hunts babies or something of the sort. And he's kind of a bad guy, I guess.
Yeah, rides a big hog of a motorcycle.
Yep.
It's an interesting film. It's an interesting premise. I was about halfway through when I was like...
Do they return the baby?
They do.
They do eventually return the baby.
Yeah, spoiler alert, they do grow a heart and they realize, like, we got to return the baby. And you know, the dad was so much cooler than I would have ever been.
That's the big, like, big surprise of the whole movie, I think, is actually that guy turns out okay.
Yeah, he's just,
because you
want
to hate him. Like, he is the enemy.
The dad?
Yeah.
Of the quintuplets?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a rich white guy, so sort of. But, I mean, he does love his wife and the babies.
You do get that impression. So.
Yeah.
That's a really cool scene there, actually.
I liked that scene a lot because he was just like, well, don't, you should sleep on it for a few days.
Yeah, but without, without being too imposing because, he's like, well, do what you want, but I'm just saying, like, you know. Just don't give up or whatever.
Yeah, stay together, try to make it work. We did fertility treatments and we had kids. You can do it too, possibly.
Yeah.
You know, it was nice. It was
science.
Very sweet. Sweet moment.
Yeah.
Very sweet moment.
And then we do get kind of a nice moment for High and Ed that...
Yeah, I loved that. The dream at the end.
Yeah, that kind of implies that maybe things will be okay for them. He mostly dreams about...
Nathan Jr.
And then at the very end, he kind of sees something for Ed and himself where they have kids.
Yeah, they're like sitting in the
now,
living room old.
Could you interpret that as that maybe he's just seeing a continuation of Nathan Jr.'s life and they're just seeing... the grandparents?
No, I took it as it being him and Ed because it was their living room.
Yeah, right.
In his dream.
Okay.
It was them in the dream. Just
I wanted to, like, old. Cool. So yeah, that's the synopsis. Cool. All right, I got some initial questions for you. First and foremost,
you are so much more prepared than I am.
How does HI compare? So high. That's Nicolas Cage's character in this. How does he compare to some of the other Cage performances? Like, where would you rank him? I guess. In fact, what are your top three Nicolas Cage performances that you've seen? You haven't seen every Nicolas Cage movie, right?
Right. How do I choose?
How do you? And we've kind of talked about this in the past. What is your preferred Nicolas Cage? Do you like unhinged, uncaged Cage? You like it a little more than I do, I think.
Uncaged Cage? I do think he's very fun that way, yes. I think
could you watch a whole movie of that?
Potentially, yeah, depending on the movie, right? Yeah. I think he did really good in this movie.
Oh, yeah,
he was so young.
He was young, right? Yeah.
He was playing, like, I don't want to say like an imbecile, but sort of like a not like a super intelligent guy.
I would say, like, I know this is a derogatory term, you'll have to forgive me. But white trash. Like, it's about white trash, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know. And sorry, but that's how I'll describe. Or, you know, okay, the rural community, if you will. Small town life. Yeah, sort of thing. Yeah.
I think my number one Nicolas Cage movie.
Oh, yeah. What's your number one?
God, this is hard. I think my number one.
Performance versus movie?
All right. I'm going to spitball them in no particular order.
Yeah, there you go.
City of Angels.
City of Angels. Never seen it. Meg Ryan movie?
Yeah.
Wow.
Fucking cry like a motherfucking baby. And he's an angel in that movie, guys. City of Angels, National Treasure.
Yeah.
And then probably Solid. Red Rock West.
Interesting. Really took to that one.
I genuinely love that movie. I feel very connected to that movie. But I also really love...
Because it's a solid noir movie. Like, it gives you the things you want in a crime movie, kind of... Crime detective movie, if you will.
It's funny, like, a little bit.
It's got one of the... I say it every time. It has one of the greatest, like, what would you call it? Car impact scenes I've ever seen.
So good. Like, no, I love that movie. And anytime people ask me about Nicolas Cage, I mention it because I had never heard of it. And nobody else has either. And it's great. It's on Peacock, guys.
Nice. Good to know.
But also, I really liked Ghost Rider 2 back in the day.
Interesting.
I don't know how it holds up because I haven't watched it in years. But sure. I remember thinking it was great. Yeah. So, there's my four.
Nice. Solid. So, and then, how does HI compare to any? Would he even make top five, let's say?
No.
Yeah.
But I think he's great.
Yeah.
He's fun in the, like you said, kind of white trashy, like buffoon, like cartoonish way, you know?
Yeah, cartoon. And, like, that's really accurate. Like, I think that review, whoever it was, like, did say it best. This is a cartoon.
It totally is. Action.
Yeah, Nicolas, you're right. Like, I feel like this was before he really honed in on that caginess of his. You could see that it's there, but...
Yeah, you can, and the Woody the Woodpecker haircut that he's got.
it did resemble that, didn't it?
It did.
And, one of the most confusing moments of the movie is when Leonard Smalls has the same tattoo.
Yeah, what the fuck? What is happening?
Now, some of my favorite parts of this movie is the choreograph. The fight scenes are just great.
They are excellent.
Like, that scene with John Goodman fighting in the trailer is one of my favorite cinema moments.
It's so good.
And that's a cartoon moment happening in real life.
John Goodman coming out of the shit in the ground was super fucking funny.
I was going to say, like, you had to die.
You're
just like, okay, let's go. Let's move on.
It really reminded me of Ace Ventura when he's coming out of the rhino.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Like, it totally had that element of comedy that we don't see anymore. Right. That physical comedy, we don't get it. I thought it was great.
Totally. So this is the we kind of skipped the big question. We'll get
maybe you
can end with it. What did you think of Holly Hunter, who plays the female lead in this?
She actually was more unhinged than Nicolas Cage's character, I thought.
I loved her breaking down crying. I love him so much! To me, she's you.
Like, yeah, I hate to say this, but I related a lot. I want to have a baby soon.
Like, to me, like, you are her at the end, when she's like, give me that baby.
Yeah, give me that baby. I want that baby. Yeah, she had such motherfucking crazy eyes when he, like, went to steal the baby and then he came back empty-handed.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, man, you better go back in there and, like, steal her a baby.
You know who she is? Did you make this connection?
I don't.
So
I
she is the voice of Elastigirl in The Incredibles.
Oh, my God. I should have instantly.
Right? You hear it now.
I'm like, bam. Yeah. It's like, it's in my head.
Turn to the right.
Oh, my God.
And
that's
this is
great.
One of the first. I keep wanting to answer the question. Okay. So who was your favorite baby? Do you think they picked the best one?
You know, I don't know. Mm. He was very cute.
Because there's one baby out of the bunch that was, like, it's like, well, that's clearly...
the cutest.
Yeah. Well, he had more curly hair.
Yes, that one was the one. Any time a baby has curly hair or red hair, I am, it's like, over. All fucking in. But me and Josh will probably have a bald baby because we were both bald.
So, John Goodman, what did you think of him here?
I thought he was great.
Right? He was one of the more solid performances in the thing.
He killed it.
Like... he's one of my favorite parts to watch just because his behavior is so good. Like, one of my favorite sequences is them eating those cornflakes in the morning. And he's
oh my God, it's so good.
He's eating cornflakes and smoking and, like, taking a drag of the cigarette while taking bites and then exhaling.
Yeah, so gross. Gross.
Like, yeah, I was like, that's white trash for you.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Okay, what do you think the character of Leonard Smalls was all about? Do you think he was real or a figment of Nicolas Cage's imagination?
Oh, that's fascinating.
Because there's theories out there that that's part of why he has the same tattoo, is it's actually just Nicolas Cage's character's, you know, uninhibited wild side.
That's fascinating.
Interesting way to look at the movie.
Yeah. I do think he was supposed to be a real character, though, because he does make contact with the dad of the baby.
And everything we were seeing was just exaggeration of movie language.
Yeah, but I think that that's a really fun theory.
Right.
I love hearing shit like that after I've seen it and didn't make that kind of connection myself, because it gives you a whole nother level to look at it with.
Right. Good. It's a very weird character, though. Very out of... Yeah.
Yeah, so it was... he was definitely the oddball in the movie, but I liked it. It was fun.
Is this a comedy?
Yes, but no.
It has to be categorized as a comedy.
I would think so as well. Is it?
And final question. I'll relegate it just to High and Ed. Are these good people?
No.
Yeah.
No.
They gave the baby back.
They did. They stole the baby, though. No, I think there was a lot of other things they could have done. But I will recognize that this was made in the 80s.
Yeah.
And I don't know what time it was supposed to be set in. But women, like... single people in general really weren't allowed to adopt babies until very recently. So it's not like she could have just... because my first thought was like, why don't you just divorce him and then adopt a baby and then stay with him though, you know? But that obviously is not a genuine option.
Right.
Especially back then. But I think there was other options that they could have considered.
I think at the end of the day, these two shouldn't be together, though.
I think her thing at the end, when she's just like, we should break up, I think she's right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, unfortunately for High, even though I think he loves Ed, I think that they are bad together, and he especially is bad for her.
Right, for sure.
Like, she had a career before she...
like, she's the voice of reason here. She's the heart of the movie, not High.
Right. I mean, she is the one that wanted him to steal the baby for her. I don't think he would have come up with that by himself. But I think that she, like, hit that level because of being with him.
Right.
I don't really think she would have done something like that if she would have been with somebody else.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't think that they're good people. I don't think they're really good together. But I think that it's funny.
Right.
And gross. They live in that kind of small town, you know, where it seems like you don't have many options. And
yeah. And you got bosses like that guy. Man, what a disgusting boss, right? Can we talk about that guy?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Swingers. Yeah, what a gross guy.
He was gross. And then he was, like, trying to steal the baby, even though he had, like, 5 fucking kids. Like, dude.
And I love how kids are portrayed, again, in those white trash scenarios. Because it is basically like that. Like, people love to say, it's like, oh, they're just letting him run wild. Look, he's writing fart on the wall. Like, they would stop that. It's like, you don't get it, man. No, there are people out there. No, they don't give a shit. Don't give a shit. All right. So, you want to know why I made you watch
this? Why did you make me watch this?
So, this is, I think this is the perfect intro for you into my, like, cinematic language, if you will. It helps you get acclimated of what to expect going forward. This is an early Coen Brothers movie, and the Coen Brothers are some of my favorite directors, mm-hmm. and they're some of the most respected directors. You've probably heard that name before.
Yes.
They've directed movies like The Big Lebowski,
and Fargo,
and a few of their movies are on this list, so you will get familiar with them.
Okay.
Because, yeah, I think they are some of the most unique directors in that they strike a tone of their own. Like, that's why I asked, like, is this a comedy? And, like, you're even, like, hesitant, where it's just like, I guess so, but it's also...
It sort of is, but it's also... But it's also
kind of more highbrow than that. Yeah. Like, there's some really impressive camera angles, even in this thing.
For sure.
Really impressive effects going on for the time, like, you know, and on the budget they were on and stuff. Anyway, like, I find this to be a unique language, so I wanted you to get a feel for that, and like Nicolas Cage of it all obviously had something to do with it as well.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that was the big those were the big reasons why I wanted you to watch it.
I do have, like, did you hear about Seth Rogen? Seth Rogen just recently wrote a book.
Oh, yeah, I'm listening to it.
Are you? Yeah. I haven't even touched it yet, but I've heard little tidbits of some of the stuff he's talked about being in Hollywood, and one of them is with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, interesting.
His first ever time meeting Nicolas Cage was when they were doing The Green Hornet.
Oh, shit.
And I guess Nicolas Cage, like, pitched him that he wanted to be this character.
Oh, wait, I have heard of this. He wanted to be...
a white Jamaican guy with dreadlocks.
Yeah.
And then Nicolas Cage, or Seth Rogen said they all kind of were like, no. And they were like, maybe after drinks, like, you can talk to us more about it. But then, like, Nicolas Cage went uncaged and he, like, did a whole monologue for them and stuff. Anyways.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So he, okay. Interesting.
Crazy. All right.
Nick.
I will say Nicolas Cage made a comment on that and said, Seth Rogen's a cool dude. So he didn't deny it.
Yikes.
But,
it sounds cool, but I would not want to see that.
I'm glad I didn't witness it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's really culturally insensitive.
Very cultural.
But it was, like, early 2000s. Not that that is ever an excuse, people, but
right.
Things but are so different now in such good. A better way,
mm-hmm.
Mostly. Anyways, yeah. Good.
Yeah.
So I told Jacob this week to watch Palm Springs.
Palm Springs. Very recent movie. In fact, I think it came out in 2021.
Did 2020.
It? 2020. Almost.
During the pandemic.
Yeah, that's
during
right.
The heat of the pandemic, yeah. When none of us could leave our houses at all.
Which is why it was so popular on Hulu. Like, it set a bunch of records for, like, most views opening weekend.
Of course.
Most views on Hulu, which makes sense when you realize that, yeah, that's what was going on. And this was definitely one of the movies I was hearing about during height of pandemic time.
Yeah.
Now, this is perfect timing for Casey to give me this movie because I have only just now gotten into the Andy Samberg thing.
Yeah.
Andy Samberg, let's make this connection right now, is associated with Saturday Night Live, first of all.
Yes.
But also Hot Rod and...
Lonely Island.
And Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That's the big thing I started watching. And I'm actually really liking it. As soon as I saw that, you know, the creative forces behind, like, I think New Girl?
Yes.
Yeah, are behind Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yes. I was like, okay, I gotta give this a look.
How far are you in Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Wait, is it New Girl or... Yeah, it is New Girl. And... The Good Place, maybe?
Maybe.
I know
New Girl's associated because they both had a crossover episode.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense because they're both in California. No, they're in New York.
Yeah, California. New Girl goes to New York. Anyway.
Oh, that's right. Anyway, Brooklyn, I'm only on like episode 3 or so, but I love what I see so far.
It's fun, easy to watch, yeah, and exactly. It hits on some really important social things as well while still maintaining their lighthearted comedy side.
Exactly.
So when they hit those moments,
Chief is my favorite.
Fucking.
He's the funniest guy.
The best.
How can he be that funny with being so good. So deadpan?
He's great.
So, okay. So Palm Springs is a modern comedy that tells the story of Sarah, played by Kristen Milioti, who's from How I Met Your Mother.
The mother, R.I.P.
She is. Oh, cool. And she is the ex-wife of Leo DiCaprio's character in The Wolf of Wall Street, who is, and she plays Sarah, who is the sister of the bride at a wedding in Palm Springs. At the wedding reception, Sarah meets a very strange but entertaining guy named Niles, played by Andy Samberg from Hot Rod and Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I mentioned. Niles seems to have life all figured out, but is suddenly impaled by some random arrows while they're hanging out in the desert. And these are shot from a bow wielded by some dark, grizzled stranger who is Niles' enemy. And he refers to him as Roy. Following Niles to a nearby cave of sorts, Sarah is whisked away to the morning of the wedding, and the day starts all over again. That's right, folks. It's a time loop movie.
Yeah.
The remainder of the film follows Sarah and Niles as they attempt to grow in their own ways. Sarah, by learning not to live life comparing herself to only her greatest mistakes or missteps.
Yeah.
And Niles, by learning to appreciate what's important and what's in front of him, and they even grow closer together through it all.
Yeah.
It's what many might call a spiritual successor to Groundhog Day, but intended for a more modern audience.
Yeah.
Skipped over a bunch of stuff, but like it crosses off all the boxes of a time loop movie. Now, what was interesting is this doesn't focus so much on the repetition of the day for the comedy and mm-hmm. so much. It actually focuses way more on the characters and
yeah.
their development and everything like that. And now, so in that regard, they got what was good from Groundhog Day, which was kind of the heaviness of it.
Yeah.
And the actual, like, when you really think about it, it's talking about some deep life stuff and free will and all that sort mm-hmm. of stuff. So this, like, basically gave you all those good bits, sprinkled in some comedy, but still didn't give you this. It's still not Groundhog Day, you know? Like, I think at the end of the day, it's still a modern comedy first and a Groundhog Day thing second. I appreciated that they didn't, like, beat you over the head with the rules. Like, it's like, dude, you guys get it. You know how this shit works.
Yes.
Like, I will say, at first, I thought it was a situation where you had to go somewhere to make it start over, which would have been interesting, but no, it's like, oh, you can go to the cave and it resets, or, you know, you wake up the next day and it's going to reset anyway. But I did think the cave idea was an interesting addition. I like that Sarah uses the time loop thing to figure out quantum physics. The possibilities are, the beauty of a time loop movie is the possibilities are endless once you learn to, like, cash in on the benefits. Like, oh, I can learn whatever I want. Like, I'm free from consequence if I mm-hmm. pick the right spot. And she used it to learn quantum physics over time. It's like, you could learn that shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I thought Samberg was actually proving to be a pretty good actor. Like, it's still pretty Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It's still kind of the same guy, but I could tell that he was trying to pull some serious stuff, too.
Yeah.
So I commend him, and I hope that he continues on it, because he could be a compelling actor. I don't know. Right now, I accept him as a comedian.
Absolutely.
And she's pretty great, too. Like, she was, like, I don't really know. It's like, she's not that... huge, like, she's been in a lot of stuff
and a lot of indie stuff too, yeah. Like smaller things as well,
yeah, but she was great.
Yeah, I thought she was great too.
And I'm glad that it struck a good balance, because it could have played heavier into the, like, comedy aspect, and that would have been a little obnoxious. Like, it could have been more like it could be more like The Change Up.
Right, with that Ryan Reynolds and Jason Bateman.
Which did that with the Body Switch movie, which really just cashed in on the... It's like, it's a cringe, like, gross-out movie, but also with Body Switch going on.
Right.
But yeah, overall, Palm Springs, like, if I... And I already gave a Letterboxd review of it.
You did? I haven't seen it.
And I gave it a 3.5, I think.
Out of 5?
Yeah, 3.5
okay,
out of 5.
That's not bad.
So pretty good. Yeah.
Not bad.
Pretty good considering these days.
Yeah, so how do you feel like it held up to other time loop movies?
It's
not just Groundhog Day, but yeah, other
right.
ones. There's so
many. I think
many.
Groundhog Day is in a league of its own.
Yes,
so
I agree.
From there, it would go Palm Springs. Like, it would definitely be the second up. And like,
awesome.
I was, because there's so many. And it gets into weird territory because you get the time loop movies, but then there's time travel movies.
Right, which is
sort different.
Of different. Yeah,
yeah,
it is.
Even if you're like returning to the same time over and over, I still wouldn't consider that a time loop movie.
How did you feel when you realized that Sarah was sleeping with her sister's
that
fiance?
That was a nice twist. I liked
it. It's good,
because,
right?
And especially given that we already seen how her day starts every day, and then to pull it out from under you that there's more to that day. Like, right, there's more to that day. There was a night before, and we get to see into that. Yeah, that was a really awesome twist.
I thought so, too. I remember being like, whoa, didn't expect it.
And it kind of took me a second to reacclimate, because then it cuts to her driving. It's like, wait, was that then or is this now?
Right. It is kind of a weird cut there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it almost felt like, it's like, oh, did she just do that for one of the time loops? Or it's like, no, she has to. And that's why I said, like, that's got to be hard. Like, waking up every day with your mistake. Like,
yeah,
looking you in the face.
I would be horrified.
Yeah.
Yeah, Andy Samberg, he's from Lonely Island Guys, or Boys, too, which is, like, that musical group that we used to love.
Chirane.
Yes. And he was a producer in this as well as an actor, the main actor.
Nice.
Which I think he might produce Brooklyn Nine-Nine, too, if I'm
that
not
makes
mistaken.
Sense. Yeah, he does. Yeah.
How did you like J.K. Simmons' character?
Dude, I love J.K. Simmons.
He's so good,
like,
right?
especially now that he's doing more stuff, like, I think it started with Whiplash, actually.
Same. That is definitely my favorite exposure.
Before that, it was Juno. He was the dad from Juno,
yes,
right? He was
yes.
But he was always just the dad from Juno.
Yes.
And then Whiplash happened, and we were like, oh, this dude can act.
Yeah, he's so good.
And he actually has a connection to my recommendation of the day. So,
really?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
That's exciting.
But I love J.K. Simmons. Like, he's got a great voice, first of all. He's the voice of the yellow M&M.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Santa? Yeah, that's
J.K.
Simmons.
Oh, my God.
And I liked his character in this. Like, he can be at, this was some of the most fun I've seen him be, like, since, like, Juno. Like, he doesn't get to have a lot of fun in the Juno characters either, because he's kind of the nice dad, and that's funny and all, but this was fun to see him, like, getting down with Andy Samberg, like, on his level.
Right.
Like, them, like, grinding on each other on the dance floor or whatever. Like, wow, that was, I've never seen that side of J.K. Simmons.
So fun.
Yeah, I liked him a lot.
Me
yeah.
too. He's one of my favorite characters in the movie, for sure.
Roy. Always find you shitbird.
Oh my God, so funny.
And he's the one who came in with the actual, like, knowledge. Like, he's the one that changed Andy Samberg's character. Andy Samberg's character is a little bit of a shit, honestly.
He is. Yeah. I don't 100% know if he's supposed to be super likable.
Yeah.
You know?
And I don't really, like, a few people pointed this out, and I wasn't sure how to feel about it, like, I didn't need the ending that we got. Like, it felt like they caved into the pressure of, it's like, okay, but they have to end up together. It's like, you were doing so good. Like, it could have ended with them not being together and been fine. Like, it would have been more on point, I think.
So, Andy Samberg admitted to having multiple endings written and shot.
Yeah.
They held private friends and family screenings of different versions to get opinions on each one.
And there's your problem. Don't listen to people. Go ahead.
Yeah. And then he said, it might not be the perfect ending, but everybody likes it. So.
And that's exactly what it feels like. It's like, it's okay for everybody. It's like,
yeah.
No, make a decision. Like, have some balls.
Nice. Lovely. Some people theorize that the grandmother knows.
Ah, I got that feeling. Yes. Yes.
And then
But then I was like, wait, that's too much to think about, because that would mean, yeah.
Some people theorize that they never actually left the end of the time. They never escaped the time loop because the ending is very with them in the pool and.
Oh, right. So well, kind of, but the people showed up.
They do.
So that's
yeah.
the only thing that breaks that apart, but that's all right.
What the fuck is up with the dinosaurs?
I didn't even see them.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
You missed out.
I didn't even see, for some reason, like, the picture, I didn't know what they wanted me to look at. I thought it's like.
I still don't have an answer for that, and I wasn't expecting
a
legit. So
wait, there's dinosaurs?
There are dinosaurs.
Oh,
yeah,
that is
at the
weird,
end of the movie,
then.
When they go through the vortex.
Oh, weird.
It's weird.
The Hollow Earth Theory. Watch Kong versus Godzilla.
Oh, no. That's the end of my questions
Those
for you.
That's the end of your questions? Well, yeah. Here's some connections I made. Worth a shot. Like, there's this whole section of IMDb that called connections, and it'll tell you, like, if a movie maybe references your movie that you watch, or if your movie references another movie, or it might tell you it's like, oh, this shot was kind of totally taken from this.
Interesting.
It's really useful for Tarantino. Like, I'm trying to track down every movie
Ooh,
that
influenced that's fun.
Him. So. Well, some connections. According to IMDb, The Graduate, which was connected to this because of the through the leg shot that happens every morning, which is kind of from The Graduate. I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Never seen The Graduate, but that makes sense.
Same.
And then Groundhog Day because of the premise, obviously.
Right.
And you know what? Between The Graduate and Groundhog Day, I think you get this movie because Andy Samberg's character is kind of the Graduate character, which is
yeah.
very just kind of schlubby and blah. Movie features J.K. Simmons. I mentioned that.
Love him.
J.K. Simmons actually appears as his character from Whiplash in this movie for
yes.
an instant during his torture montage.
Yes.
Which is amazing. So there's a connection
so
for you.
So good. So good.
I tried to, like, these, the writer and directors, like, going forward, I want to try to make connections with writers and directors and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
These guys are pretty new, though. Like, I couldn't really connect them to anything, like, other than, hey, I want to see what else you make. So keep it up. Maybe they'll connect to something else. This was actually filmed in Palmdale and Santa Clarita, California.
Our mom
which
used to
I think
live
we're
in
connected to Palmdale, so there's a connection
yeah,
for us.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
The and desert cave so is in are... Joshua Tree.
What's that?
The
yeah,
desert
Joshua
cave.
Tree. That makes sense.
That's what Josh was named after.
Oh.
It's Joshua Tree.
Interesting. So, Casey, let's try to... Okay, now we've reached this segment of the show. Let's try to make connections between our two movies. Like, there's some pretty one. There's some pretty straightforward ones. Both titles indicate locations.
Yeah, both titles indicate locations.
Both take place in kind of arid climates. Like,
I was
going to
say desert climates, for sure.
For sure. Yeah, color palette is similar. So I
it
would
is.
Say Palm Springs is more...
A little more
bubblegummy.
Mm-hmm.
Like pastels seem
a little
to
more bright.
Work
mm-hmm.
in there. Okay. So let's see. Some other connections I noticed. Not in tone. Like, there's not a real connection in terms of tone.
There's
like,
not,
Palm
no.
Palm Springs is definitely its own thing.
Definitely Raising Arizona is kind of in its own bucket as well.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, unlikable characters, maybe.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say Nicolas Cage is unlikable, but... No, he's not unlikable. But there's some unlikable characters in that movie. The boss guy was unlikable.
For sure. And I think, like, some of the things that Nick Cage's character does are kind of unlikable.
Yeah, true.
In a funny way, though. Because that is the thing. Like, you normally would not be rooting for the guy that's, like, getting his shotgun out of his car to go.
Right. Well, he doesn't put bullets in the gun, though.
Right. So and he's trying to get a... Diapers for the baby. So
that whole scene was great.
Oh, just, my God, with the nylons on his face and he's running through the backyards. I was laughing.
Another line of dialogue from that whole movie is just, ah!
Yeah.
Like, how many times did, ah, have to
totally,
appear in
the script? Totally.
God, so great. Which I have to commend it for having that energy throughout. Like, that's
oh,
thing.
My God,
like,
yes.
Wow. Another connection. There's actually surprising similarity to me with, like, the Roy character and... Smalls, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that Roy kind of is Andy Samberg's Smalls, like, his,
yeah.
like, id, if you will, his, like, dark guardian angel, if you will. Where, like, Nick Cage needed Smalls to grow.
He did.
And mm-hmm. then, Niles needed Roy to grow a little bit.
He did. Yeah. He totally did, yeah.
Right. So I think those are basically all the connections I can make.
I think so, yeah.
Nice.
I can't think of a single. Well,
this was good. So I think, so it's looking like our shows are going to run roughly about an hour. So this is cool.
This
is going to be a little, and who knows though, down the line, if we get more comfortable or get into some really intense movies, they might be longer, but.
Right.
I think this works out nicely. We still get to some of our favorite points of the movie this way.
Oh, you forgot to ask me.
Oh, God. So we need to get better at that. So it feels like maybe it is a last thing question, actually.
Okay.
Not a start question.
Okay.
That feels right. It's like, okay, this and that. I made this connection. Okay, so, but in the end, like, yeah, why did you make me watch this movie? Yeah, why?
I made you watch this movie because of your insistent refusal to watch it when I suggested it to you before. Just
good thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, because I genuinely thought you would enjoy it and think it was really fun.
It's a breeze, too.
It's a breeze to watch. It's easy to watch. When you come from quarantine where you're doing the same thing every day, it's shockingly entertaining to watch it happen on the screen.
And it attacks, like, the Groundhog Day thing from a different angle, I think.
Totally different, like, yeah. And I thought that you would like his character and her character and their chemistry. And I know you like J.K. Simmons. So right. I just thought that, you know, Jacob will think this is really fun.
Well, good call. I like that it wasn't generic, like, oh, she's the more optimistic one and he's the...
right.
He's the negative one. It wasn't that at all. They're actually on like the same level in terms of ideology.
I was
going to
say, yeah, there's not... Yeah. I don't feel like there's one that's more pessimist and one more optimist than the other.
They're kind of in the same spot, which totally. Is why it works.
Yeah. It, yeah.
Yeah.
After watching it, I really liked their chemistry and I thought it was really fun and I love her as an actress and I think she's a really fun character.
Yeah.
But I was like, man, I could have also watched the entire movie with Andy Samberg and J.K. Simmons. Like,
that's
but
a
I
sequel.
It could be
release the Simmons cut.
Oh God, but I do think that she added a lot to the cast as well, and
yeah,
I thought it was really fun.
To see what else she does because she's one of those like she's been active for a while, and then come to find it's like oh, well shit, I'm like yeah, keep going. She's
totally
really good.
She's
got
good.
Great comedic timing. And...
What's really funny is like what sold her on the script was the dinosaur thing.
That's weird. What I don't even like. To
you gotta
her,
go
that
back,
was, like, important.
Man.
Like,
she is kind of like an oddball person, and I respect it. But I think it's hilarious that she gets offered like the lead part in a movie, and she's like, I don't know. Oh, there's dinosaurs. Okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
And I feel like I relate to that a little bit.
Because of Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So our cousin lives.
Spielberg has hijacked your childhood.
He has Indiana Jones, Jurassic Park.
Hey, guys. No, go ahead.
Our cousin lives in Hawaii, and I just found out that you can go to the island where Jurassic Park was filmed, and they have it all set up and everything for you to, like, rent ATVs and drive through. And I feel like I might be going to Hawaii next year.
No, dude, don't do it. Jesus Christ.
There won't be dinosaurs there for real, Jacob. Unfortunately.
I love it. My two favorite movie facts of Casey. So, one, Casey... is more attached to R2-D2 than
oh my god
fucking than Chewbacca. Yeah. I love that though. It's just like my god, like
it makes me sound
at
heartless.
At least you can argue. Yeah, exactly. At least you can argue Chewbacca is like humanoid.
Right.
R2-D2, no, nothing. There ain't no. Anyway,
I'm a monster.
So that and then Jurassic Park, if it existed, she would fucking go. No! No fucking way in hell.
I would, though. So I love dinosaurs, you guys.
Yeah.
I love
them. A lot of us
do.
You know, Spielberg,
I also love Indiana Jones a lot. Like, I do love a lot of those action-packed...
Indiana Jones has affected how I... Like, I watched this movie called The Phantom today.
And
it's influenced by Indiana Jones and The Mummy. Like, The Mummy was the same way, right? What do you compare it to? It's like,
Indiana
The
Jones.
Mummy is Indiana Jones, but, you know... because that's the best any movie like that can hope to be, really. Honestly, to be compared to Indiana Jones.
Like, and for me, like, if I'm going to watch an action movie, I want it to be something like that. And they're not. Like, action movies is such a broad spectrum.
Hmm. And well, then there's the adventure movie. You know,
I guess this is like an adventure, Indiana right? Jones. Yeah. Because, yeah, anytime Josh is like, oh, we're going to watch an action movie, it ends up being like chase scenes, crime, people fighting. And I'm just like, this isn't Indiana Jones. An action Jones.
Movie would be Fast and Furious.
Or fucking Fast and Furious. Racing the cars.
That's what action is now. I mean, yeah. Hmm.
But yeah, to me, the perfect action movie would be something like... It would be an action adventure because Indiana Jones, Jurassic Park, those are my fun. Yeah,
throw in some puzzles, some mythology or some shit.
Fuck, yes.
Yeah. That's not... I'm an easy target. No. yeah. So... I think we have reached the recommendation portion of our show.
Recommendation.
And I have been itching to recommendate.
Recommendate.
I've been itching to recommend this one since last show, apparently. Because it sucks, because the podcast ends, and then shit happens in those 4 weeks, and you're like, oh, I want to...
Yeah.
But it's good, because now we're stocked up on things to recommend. So what are you recommending, Casey?
Okay, I'm going to recommend a book series. It's a YA series. That's... Jacob's looking around because there's a light shining through my window. It's the little marble thing outside getting the reflection. Anyways, it's scary. I'm going to recommend a YA book series. Okay. Not something I would normally recommend.
You've recommended another one, though. Okay.
One other one, yeah. This, both of them were ones I read when I was younger. This one I read in high school. Or middle school leading into high school. So a long time ago, there's like 8 books in the series, I think. It's called Vampire Academy. Mm. The author is Rochelle Mead. She's a Portland local. Oh, wow. Very cool. They're actually making a TV show.
Nice.
That's going to be on Peacock.
Not so nice.
I know. I hope it does well.
Yeah.
But we'll see. So I'm recommending it now if you guys want to read the book series before whatever possibly crappy... Or good. It's going to be by the same people who wrote... Pull
up Powerpuff Girls. Ooh, did you hear about that?
No.
Ooh, man. Okay, real quick, guys. So there's... The CW's been doing... I thought it was a bad idea from the get-go.
Yeah.
They were going to do... Okay, live-action Powerpuff Girls. Already bad.
Yeah.
But it's when they're all grown up. Worse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's them, like, dealing with life troubles and everything after the celebrity of being Powerpuff Girls. They all have hands. We know they didn't have hands. Anyway, so the pilot episode, so the way...
Did it come out?
The way series works is you release a pilot episode, the studio judges the pilot episode, and they decide if they want to make more of the show. Not.
Mm-hmm.
So they released the pilot episode and they rejected it and were like, you know what? Nope, too campy, too cartoony, too like not yeah.
We hate
no.
it.
Like, try again. And now they're like trying to back it. It's like, oh well, we're just gonna rework it. Well, don't worry, you'll get your Powerpuff Girl show. It's like, it's nope. Okay. Like,
I was gonna say, who wants that?
It's all right. Just let it die.
This I hope is better. It is being written by the same people who wrote Vampire Diaries TV
very
show,
popular.
Which was very good. I mean, it's
very
not,
popular.
But it was good. It was really good. No, it was terrible, especially towards the end. But I did watch every fucking episode because it was sort of like soapy, and I read those books too. The TV show was actually better than the books in that one instance. This time, I hope they don't change anything, obviously. But anyways, Vampire Academy. It's a fun book series. Fun to read. Coming of age, like...
No, this didn't have a show already?
I loved these books. And she actually has since written 2 spinoffs that I've read as well. It had one movie that was, like, literally the worst movie adaptation I've ever seen of a book ever. And this has such a strong cult-like following that, like, it really sank and it did not do well because they tried to make it campy. And it was – it's something that should be a TV show because a lot happens and there's a lot of action and things like that happening.
Right.
You know, in the same way they could have made Harry Potter a TV show, and and it would have been really excellent. I like the Harry Potter movies, but I think if they would have done a TV show, it would have been like you would have gotten to see more of that mundane life that you miss that they cut out because they don't have time in the movies to show it.
Yeah.
Anyways, so we'll see. Nice. Vampire Academy. Cool. Check it out if you're into that kind of thing.
Check.
I like vampires.
Check it. Okay. And my recommendation is, so this series is officially, the entire season is now available on Amazon. It is called Invincible.
Invincible.
Based on a comic book series by Image Comics. This shit, like, and it's taken me a while to get around to this. Everybody was recommending it. It is great. It is one of the things that Seth Rogen is producing.
Yeah.
My man, Jason Mantzoukas. Oh my God, how have I not
seen this?
Yep, he's one of the voices. It has J.K. Simmons as one of the main voices. There's my connection there. And it's just, so it is an animated superhero show, but it's for adults. Don't let kids go anywhere near this shit.
Okay.
Like, and I, like, this, from me, okay? Like, this show, like, is so brutal. Like, it has even me, like, wriggling in the seats a little bit. That's not easy to do, for me.
So, yeah.
At the end of the day, it is a great story about humanity and what makes us great and stuff like that. And to me, like, these are the kind of superhero things I'm interested in now. I want to see all this kind of stuff a little more darker and everything like that. I'm done with, like I had my Marvel and I still have my Marvel.
Yeah.
I have everything up to Endgame. It's cool. And Falcon and Winter Soldier.
So good.
I have everything up to that, but after that, it's just not for me anymore, and that's fine. It's, you know, it's fine. It's now for, they are cultivating it for a new, it looks like, younger audience, which is cool.
Yeah.
It looks like we're going to see a lot of kids superheroes. That's really, that's a good idea.
I think so.
Anyway, this show really, like, this is the kind of superhero stuff I want to see now, and, really good. Check it out. And yeah, I would definitely recommend
you
check it out. It's called Invincible, available on Amazon Prime. Entire first season.
I'm gonna have to check it out.
Oh, and especially, like, you like The Boys?
It's animated The Boys.
It's, yeah, straight up.
Oh, Steven Yeun.
And don't read anything about it.
Okay.
And, like, especially, like, I probably won't watch any subsequent seasons of the show because I felt like I got my fix with the first season. And afterwards, I looked into everything that happens later on in the series.
Why
so I don't
did you
need
do
to
that
watch
to yourself?
It.
Why?
Because it was that good. I was like, I need to know.
Yeah. I do that occasionally. I did that with WandaVision.
Plus, I really didn't want to watch two more seasons of The Brutality.
Gonna have a rough time watching this.
Like, I'm saying, like,
I do love Jason Mantzoukas so much that I'll push through.
I was so happy when I heard him. It's a little jarring because I'm like, especially when you consider it's like, oh, he's playing a teenager 20 year old ish.
Does it work?
And they make it work, like, because he's kind of the asshole, like, so it would, like, that voice works for, like, an asshole high schooler.
It does.
Like, yeah. Anyway, check those out. Those are our recommendations. All right, and now it's time for our assignments.
Yes.
All right, I've got mine picked out for you.
Go. Do it.
Did you have a star rating for Raising Arizona by any chance? It's kind of more my thing than yours. But
yeah, but I would give it, like, a 3.
Out of 5.
3 or 3.5 out of 5.
Oh, okay,
for sure.
Cool. So
I thought it
like
was really
it.
Fun.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
I enjoyed it, but I was like, what the fuck am I watching?
For sure.
But in a good way. In a fun way.
Yeah. Not, like, could have been way worse.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so... All right, this one's going to tug on your heartstrings. This movie that I am recommending you is a movie by the great Clint Eastwood. It's one of his directorial movies. It stars Hilary Swank. As well as the good old voice of God, Morgan Freeman.
I can't.
It is called Million Dollar Baby.
I've seen it and I can never watch it again.
Oh, you have seen it? Oh, okay. Perfect.
It is one of those films that you can watch one time.
Yeah, same.
And, like, you will be fucking sobbing your heart out.
It's great.
And it will stick with you forever, but one time is enough and you don't need to ever watch it again.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, see, but I appreciate that you recommended that to me because that is a great film.
Yeah.
It's a freaking great film.
Okay, how about this one? Here we go.
Okay.
Promising Young Woman, starring Carey Mulligan. It is
I have wanted to watch this.
You've probably heard a lot of buzz about. Hopefully you don't know anything about it, though, like I did. Like, see, so I saw, like, a teaser trailer.
I saw a trailer.
And then, like, heard, like, I didn't, yeah, but I didn't know anything about it. I just basically, knew, like, she seeking revenge on, you know, rape, you know, male, like, rape culture, like,
right.
type of thing. But that's essentially it. And that's the best way to go into it. So this is good. So Promising Young Woman. Yeah, I'm interested to know what you think, and we'll have some interesting conversations for you next week for sure.
I'm real excited.
Perfect. So Promising Young Woman for you. All right, what do you got for me? This will be, okay. This is going to be fun because now we get to look forward to, how are we going to connect this shit?
Like, I don't know if you've seen this.
All right, let's
see. So I'm going to throw it at you. I had never even heard of it until recently, and then I watched it. It stars Jason Segel, who is somebody we both love.
Oh, Jason Segel.
Segel. Oops. Segel. Okay. I looked it up and listened to somebody and say it. Because I was like, I think I say this wrong always. It stars Marshall from How I Met Your Mother.
There you go.
It's called Jeff Who Lives at Home.
Ooh, okay.
Have you seen it?
No.
So it's on Amazon Prime, by the way.
Oh, good to know. Really? See, that's great. I think we're going to run into that too. We'll try to get you guys stuff that you can access.
Yeah. I really cannot wait to hear what you think about it. I'm not going to say anything about it, but I want to know if you're going to love it or hate it. It's one of those.
Go either way.
It could go either way, but I'll tell you that I cried. So
what year did it come out?
Judge me if you might.
We'll find out. Sweet. So, all right. So we got Promising Young Woman versus Jeff Who Lives at Home.
Yeah.
Okay. Sweet. All
2011.
Right. Nice. So cool. Both of these are relatively new. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for joining us for our homecoming episode of The Movie Connection.
There we go.
Next time, we're going to do it at the same time.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
So, if you liked what you hear, be sure to like follow us on Instagram.
Yeah.
You can follow the Instagram page for the podcast itself. It's going to be likely under The Movie Connection.
Yeah. I'm going to go in and change the...
Yeah.
Keep the same page and change the name. So, if you're not following... Go ahead and follow, you know, come and follow us.
It should just, like, yeah, it should just transfer right over.
I should be able
right
to just change the username,
We're just changing the name. The Movie Connection. Also, you can follow us individually. Me at Jacob Bean Watson.
And me at Casey Schwartz.
Also, I'm a big Letterboxd guy. I usually, if I watch a movie, I try to Letterboxd my experience of it.
Hell yeah.
So check me out on Letterboxd. You might hear some more of my reviews on the show. Who knows?
You can find me on Goodreads.
There you go. Yeah. Goodreads. Yeah. Nice.
Ooh, because that's where I review my books.
Oh, sweet. See? Good. Good. Yeah. I like that. So that's that. We do have a Facebook page, which is going to be The Movie Connection.
Yes.
And then, we're available wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to share with your friends.
Subscribe.
Subscribe, definitely. Give
At
us
some
a little
point,
five-star.
We're going to have some video podcasts and throw them up on YouTube.
That's going to be fun.
We weren't quite ready for that yet, but we're getting there. And once we do, we'll definitely let you guys know so you can follow us on YouTube as well.
We also have a little remainder from that we're going to get to eventually. It's going to be more under the Disney Channel Surfers banner, but we had somebody request that we do a watch-along for an episode of The Muppet Show.
Heck, yes, we did, and I'm super excited for that.
So we'll do that eventually. Like, if you're listening, like, just know that we will
get
around to
that. It's going to come. Don't worry. It'll be a bonus.
Bonus. Awesome. Well, thanks, everybody, and we will see you next week.
Bye.